Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Put a spring in your step and fresh looks in your home, in-store or online at harrycurry.com.
I want to open today. I wonder how many of you out there have been watching and following A Baby Reindeer. This is the number one programme on English-speaking Netflix today as we speak. It's an extraordinary programme and it centres around a case of stalking, a real life, it was written by a comedian, a stand-up comedian who had a personal story in this line. And this is a fictional account that was based on those real life events. And it has really grabbed the imagination of the Netflix viewing public. I want to bring in Eve McDowell now. Eve, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Eve, I'm very well, and thank you so much for joining us. People will remember your name, Eve, because you are almost single-handed. Yourself and Una Ring, I think, were the real powerhouses behind us having anti-stalking legislation, specifically anti-stalking legislation in this country. And you are absolutely to be commended for that. And the reason you got involved in that campaign is because you had your own story.
Yeah, I did. I had my own story back in between, I suppose, 2018 to 2019. I'd say most people have heard it by now, but just for anyone who hasn't, I was stalked by someone I didn't really know too well. He was an acquaintance when I was in college. And then I left college and he continued showing up to my workplace and outside my house. And it kept escalating until he shaved off his hair, eyebrows and his beard. And tried to break into my house the first time, and then he was successful on his second attempt at breaking in, and he attacked my housemate at the time with a hammer and a knife.
And just to say, and I know we won't dwell too much on, as you say, you have told the story in many formats and in many forums now, but just for people who still don't really quite understand the impact of having somebody just turning up when you leave your home or leave your work or you see them, you know, that sense of being followed or being watched. Like, it was really, the detail of it was really quite extraordinary. Like, there was some days where he was following you for like the full, like from 9:30 in the morning until that night, every time you'd look up.
Yeah. It's so extreme, it never leaves you. And I should have, I suppose, gave a content warning to anyone listening before I went into that, because I know at the moment it's National Stalking Awareness Week. So it's good that Baby Reindeer has coincided with this week to kind of highlight some of those impacts that it has on people, because we did a study with UCC and we found that, you know, a lot of people experience anxiety and there's high rates of PTSD with it as well. And no matter whether it's in person or online, it really does affect every element of your life. Socially, you know, you're not going to be as social, psychologically and financially as well, because, you know, most people end up having to either seek legal help or seek counselling or therapy, or else miss out on work and things like that. So it really does.
And even in your case, I know you had to, you know, fork out for extra security, for cameras, for, you know, all sorts of, the implications go on and on. And that's a very interesting point as well, that so stalking has probably been around forever, but social media has meant that now you can stalk somebody from your, if you want to be a stalker, you don't even have to leave your house. You can actually stalk somebody online in a very frightening way.
Yeah, that's it. And a lot of people might not even know sometimes. So I think with COVID, there seemed to be a rise in that. And the online can often lead to in-person, or in-person can lead to online as well. They go hand in hand together. But yeah, it's very accessible for people to reach information about people that they want to know more about, unfortunately. So it's just important to be cautious on what you're putting
information up. You put up. Exactly, yeah. And the other myth I think that's out there is that you get stalked by people that you've been in some kind of a serious relationship with, an ex-partner or somebody, a family member, somebody who knows you well. But as your case shows, you don't have to have had any kind of a relationship really with somebody for this stalking to take off.
Yeah, well, like originally people always thought that it was just celebrities that got stalked or it was a stranger in the bushes, but over 50% of cases are post-relationship breakup. I recently did a workshop with Women's Aid 24-hour helpline staff, so they're now trained to respond to cases of stalking as well. If anyone needs that helpline, I think it's 0800 341 900, because the majority of the time it is post-relationship breakdown. But it does happen to other people as well, as myself and Una experienced, and in baby reindeer as well. So I think it's good to highlight both sides of that. But yeah, it is important to know it does link with coercive control a lot, majority of the time.
Yeah, because of course all of that is about control.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Yeah, yeah. Lack of consent and boundaries and control is really what feeds it.
And do you want to put out that number again? It's important. And of course, we have helplines, and we'll just check that we have appropriate helplines up on rte.ie that people can mm-hmm. go to after this programme. But just that number might be helpful to give out, because people, as you say, might be in a situation now where they need help.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's 1-800-341-900. And it's important to know. And local rape crisis centres are there as well. I didn't realise at the time, because there's no stalking specific services, that doesn't mean that there's other services that are out there that aren't willing to help. They are willing to listen, so don't hesitate on reporting to them or reporting to the guards, because it is important that we understand how big the scale of the problem is. Because before this law was introduced in November, there was no data on how many stalking cases there was in the country, because they were being prosecuted under harassment. So it's really important that people report their cases in case they escalate further, or just, you know, capture how common this really is.
Yeah, and just to say again, the Women's Aid number, another number that would be useful to have handy, is 1-800-341-900. And again, just to remind people, rte.ie/helplines, you'll get an array of helplines there if there is something that you need help with right now. So that's important to say. But getting back to, we came into this because of the baby reindeer mm-hmm. story, which is, I suppose, because it's just so well made and well dramatised and have brilliant actors in it, has really, really kind of taken fire in terms of capturing people's imagination and outlining what it might be like to get inside the head of both a stalker and the person being stalked. Have you actually been able to watch it? Because I wonder if people like yourself who've been through this, it must be quite triggering.
Well, I have to commend the man who scripted it after experiencing that, because Una and I would have taken part in a documentary with Virgin Media that was filmed over the space of 2 years, and it was really, really emotionally testing to have to revise everything and, you know, on camera as well. So I don't know how he did it. No, I haven't watched it yet. I have people close to me watching it, kind of telling me little bits about it, and there's some people that say, oh, you might be able to watch it, and then one of the girls in the office there today, she said, just don't do it to yourself, because anyone that I've spoken to that's watched it has been really impacted by it themselves. And I think it's really important that we're getting the male perspective, because I think male stalking cases are severely underreported as well. Just even from myself getting disclosures, there's a lot of men that I would kind of know that have reached out to me in the last 2 years, who, you know, might find it hard to speak up for themselves if they're experiencing it as well. So I'm hoping that there's...
Yeah, is there an element that men are would be a little embarrassed maybe to say that this is something they couldn't handle themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think there's I think on paper or in studies, you'll find that it is a gender-based violence. Like, it is majority of male perpetrators, and often with men, it can be men perpetrating it as well. But there are men that get stalked by women, and it's important that they're able to seek support as well. So that we can really kind of understand stalking, I suppose. It's so under-researched and it's so common. I know the stat in the UK is 1 in 5 women will be stalked in their lifetime and 1 in 10 men. And then in the US, there's figures like 1 in 5 women and 1 in 7 men.
Wow, those figures are astonishing, Eve. And yeah, as you say, we're only now going to be able to gather some data here, because that legislation that, as I say, you were instrumental in getting on our statute books, and Helen McEntee introduced that and was enacted in November. So we'll only now really, and have we any sense at all, even in those few months since that law has been enacted, of the kind of prevalence
I've heard
here?
Of a few cases now. There is a section of it that we are still waiting to be enacted. So the civil protection orders, they still haven't been enacted yet. And they are really, really important, particularly for people that haven't been in a relationship. Because once they're introduced, that means that someone can apply for a protection order, which is like similar to a restraining order for people who aren't sure. And the Gardaí can actually apply for those before a case gets to court. So what those orders will do when they're in is actually kind of prevent a case from escalating, hopefully, and provide some sort of legal protection for people. Because at the moment, if you've been in an abusive relationship, there is a way to apply for a different order. But we're really calling on the Department of Justice now, especially considering it's National Stalking Awareness Week and everything going on. It's really, really important that that gets moved through as quickly as possible.
And do we know why that section of it hasn't come into force yet?
No, we don't. I know that obviously the government are very busy all the time. There's always issues at hand, but we can't let this fall through the cracks. Una and I put so much work, and Lisa Chambers as well, into this, campaigning around it, and we told our own personal stories over and over and over again on many platforms to try and get, you know, people to listen. And these protection orders, you know, they're just vital, particularly in those cases where someone hasn't been in a romantic relationship, or whether they have been or not, and for capturing data as well. So
exactly, you know, that would give us a better idea, because I know that you have a really significant number of people have actually come to you and contacted you with their stories.
Yeah, I'd say I've had hundreds of disclosures over the last few years, whether that be through working in the university or on social media, or when Una and I started stalking Ireland, we put our email addresses up for people to reach out to us, and we actually had to pull back because we were trying to process and deal with our own cases, and we're not licensed therapists, so we felt it would be irresponsible to offer support when we weren't in great places ourselves. But it was an overwhelming response that we got. There's so many people out there that need the support and that need advice. And, you know, a lot of stalking cases will only last about 4 weeks, but the ones that go longer than that, that escalate past that, are in danger of, you know, the security risk increasing. So,
Because the stalking itself is a criminal act, obviously, now, but it has a massive, even just if it never goes beyond the stalking, it can have a massive impact on somebody's life. But obviously, in your case, it did spill over beyond that into an assault situation. And in many cases, that's the danger, isn't it, that it goes there. I should explain, because apparently some of our callers are saying, what exactly is Baby Reindeer? Just to give a very brief outline, it is a story of a kind of a struggling comedian, stand-up comic, who has a part-time job in a bar, is kind to a customer on a random night, and this customer becomes obsessed with this person and begins, and that's where the stalking begins, and it goes on for a huge period of time. It's both in real life and online, and it gives a real insight into the psychological impact of finding yourself trapped in that scenario. Mm-hmm. And it's Richard Gadd is the writer. He has acknowledged and put it out there that he did have real life experiences, but he says this is a fictional account. And And it is, as I said, the number one most viewed and streamed TV show on English Netflix right at the moment. And it just shows as well, Eve, does it, that the interest in it, and, you know, how much of a kind of a water cooler story that is, and people talking about this now.
Yeah,
it indicates how much of it is out there maybe, and people haven't acknowledged it.
Yeah, because stalking is so much more nuanced than people would expect. Like, obviously, before it happened to me, I had a completely different perception of it. I thought it was that stranger in the bush. But it's defined as any behaviour that's fixated, obsessive, unwanted, and repeated. So a lot of organisations will use that acronym for fixated, obsessive, unwanted, repeated behaviour. So it could be anything from sending unwanted gifts to repeated phone calls, lingering outside work, kind of keeping track of your routines. So because it's so nuanced and there's not certain behaviours that you can tick off for definite, it is harder to spot. So it's more about the pattern and the motivation behind that pattern than the isolated behaviours themselves. And I think that's what makes it difficult for people to speak out sometimes, because, you know, I had someone say to me, oh, I was continuously getting flowers and boxes of chocolates at the door. I know there was one case where someone was getting boxes of chocolates, and the expiry date on the box was their birthday and significant dates in their life. So it's really, really sinister underlying, and on the surface it might not look like it would affect someone, but it really, really does get in your head.
And I know one of your issues was when you did, as you say, this was going on, you were trying not to let it get in under your skin. But when the man who was stalking you changed his appearance very dramatically, that frightened you. And that was the point that you approached the guards. But you didn't get the kind of response that you had hoped. And I know you think that there's still a gap there in terms of training for Gardaí who might be dealing with this.
Yeah, absolutely, because they need to understand the new legislation. And when I went there, there actually was harassment legislation in place that could have been implemented, but they didn't seem to have the knowledge on the harassment legislation, or else felt that my case wasn't serious enough to use that. And I reported a couple of times before anyone offered to take a statement, which I didn't even know the difference between a report and a statement. I was 19. So I think, you know, there's a duty of care there for people who report to offer that, because by the time I actually did make a statement, it wasn't until the night before he broke in, when these incidents had gone on for, you know, really like over a year. It's hard to timeline for definite, but I just felt like I wasn't taking that seriously the whole way.
Yeah, because when you hear your story and you hear the account of all the times that the number of times in your day where you were encountering this man that you really had no relationship with, you would have to think any logical person would say, this is a serious matter. This is something. This is not going to end well here.
Yeah, well, they were asking me like, oh, have you slept with him? Have you been with him? These kind of questions. And even if I had, it wouldn't make the behaviour okay. But there was some sort of, like, I don't know, I just felt as though they felt that there was something that I wasn't telling them. And, you know, not taking that statement until literally the night before he broke in, within a few hours, he broke in of me making that first statement. And as well, I was told, oh, unless I knew the exact dates and times of everything that had happened, that I couldn't put it in the statement. So by the time my case got to court, if you look at the newspaper articles, it will say that I was stalked for 2 weeks, when in fact it went on for much longer. But because I couldn't remember the details, that wasn't taken into account in the court proceedings. So whenever someone comes to me now, I always say, make sure you write down absolutely everything, even if it's in your notes app on your phone or in a notebook, just the date, the time, how you felt, what they were doing, what they were wearing, if you could see them, or if it was online, to take screenshots, because you never know, you might actually need that information someday.
Yeah, it's just, even saying that, it just gives me a chill, just imagining a scenario where you would have to do that, where this would be this would be some part of your life. And it's just the randomness of, as well, when you read accounts of people who have found themselves in this position, it can just come out of nowhere.
It really can, yeah. Anyone can be stalked and anyone could be a stalker. So it is, I know that sounds really terrifying, but there is five ideologies, I suppose, or typologies of stalker, the most common being the post-relationship breakdown. And then you have the less common predatory stalker as well, who is someone who is likely to continue stalking multiple people. And the end game there is often very, very violent. And then there's some people who might stalk because they don't actually understand social boundaries, or they might not have good social skills. So it is very, very nuanced. There is a large spectrum of it. But it's great that, these conversations are happening now so that we can talk about it and begin to understand it more. But a lot of it does go back to consent and healthy boundaries and healthy relationships, which we've been trying to incorporate it. I work with active consent in the University of Galway, so we've been trying to incorporate more about stalking into our resources as well.
Do you think, and I'll let you go, Eve, but that idea of consent, and I know we've that ad campaign where, you know, we need to have the conversation on consent. Is the consent idea finally sort of being embedded in people's conversations around, you know, relationships or even just social contact?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't even know what consent meant until I was, probably around 19. I hadn't even heard the word. Whereas now people are understanding it, because I think people panic a little bit when they hear consent, because they automatically think it's sexual consent and how do I bring this topic up? But it really is as simple as understanding people's boundaries and checking in and agreeing and making sure everyone's on the same page. So mutual understandings and respect for other people. So it's great that there is so much awareness around consent now, and the Department of Justice has done a lot around it, which is great. So I think stalking is the next step now.
Eve, thank you so much. Great advice and great insight into what can happen when you find yourself in that position. And as I say, we'll have the helplines up there if anyone is in that position right now. And as you say, your big call out is you want to see the final bit of that legislation enacted.
Yeah, absolutely. The civil protection orders.
Because that would make a huge difference to people who were in the position that you were in.
Yeah, and there's really no reason for the delays. So just to put a bit of time and focus on it and get that through can make a huge difference to a lot of people's lives and possibly save lives as well.
Okay, great. Okay, Eve, thank you so much. We're going to have to take a break. We'll be back talking about sepsis after these.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.